This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The Nuit Debout protests have been going on for a month now. Beginning at the Place de la République in Paris, the movement has spread to dozens of cities throughout France. The protests began in reply to new legislation against workers in France enacted by the French government. It's an example of the enduring global struggle against the neoliberal credo. Gabriel Rockhill is an assistant professor of philosophy at Villanova University. His recent essay, Revolution Never Sleeps, Nuit Debout in France and Beyond, was published at counterpunch.org. Earlier this week, Red Eye Collective member James Mengi spoke with Gabriel Rockhill.
Can you tell me, first of all, what is Nuit Debout?
Well, the Nuit Debout movement began around February 23rd, 2016. It was originally organized by François Roussin, who's one of the founder of the left-wing journal Fakir, and who had made the documentary film Merci Patron. Out of this came a call to extend protests against the neoliberal reforms and particularly a labor law in France, which one of the decisions was to extend protests in the form of an occupation. And the next major protest, which was organized on the 31st of March, then turned into a general occupation centered in Paris's Place de la République. But it quickly spread to other sites in France. Within a week, I believe there were 30 other cities, and then in the following weeks, beyond France. And the calls transcended those that had to do immediately with the labor law and came to resemble in many ways certain aspects of the Indignados movement or the Occupy movement, because there was an appeal to rethink the overall economic, political, and social framework of the contemporary world.
What does the term Nuit Debout mean, and how did that come about?
Yeah, literally, it means stand up night or night on your feet, and it describes a particularity of the movement itself, because there was a claim desire not simply to go and participate in protests during the day, but to claim the night hours and to stay up all night, which I think is particularly revelatory not only of the specificity of this movement, but also of the temporal dimension, meaning that instead of being circumscribed in a particular time of protest or resistance, it is directly confronting and pushing back against the 24/7 temporality and the insomnia of capitalism, meaning if there's anything that stays open all night, it should be the global struggle against capitalism and not simply 24/7 stores.
So we all spend 8 hours a night sleeping, but capitalism never sleeps. It just keeps right on going.
Well, exactly. I think that's one of the more interesting aspects of this movement, is that in juxtaposing its own temporality to that of capitalism, it highlights the extent to which there is a persistent, ongoing, and global struggle against the insomnia 24/7 capitalism, which is up all night, which is constantly seeking profit in every corner of the world. And so one way in which I understand the importance of Nuit Debout is as a convergence of so many struggles that we've seen over the last few years and even decades against the neoliberal hegemony and the extent to which it's both taken over the entire world and also put us into a temporality of nonstop exploitation and alienation.
You mentioned earlier about the about some of the circumstances that surrounding the rise of the Nuit Debout movement in the last month or so. Can you tell me a little bit more detail about what specifically was going on with the French government and the French business class to spark this movement?
Well, one of the interesting things, and this is a parallel to the Occupy movement in the United States, is that France purportedly has a socialist government and under the leadership of François Hollande, and it's become very clear at so many different stages in the last few years the extent to which the socialist government supports the neoliberal political agenda, as well as a very securitarian imperial agenda, just as much for that matter, as right-wing parties, although obviously there are some minor differences between the two. And this, I think, is an important backdrop to the emergence of the Nuit Debout movement. It's the recognition that institutionalized leftist politics, if it be in France with Hollande, or if we take the example of the United States with Obama, is very much in support of the standard consensual, what's referred to as the Washington Consensus, and that if we want progressive politics of a more radical sort, then there needs to be a break with this representative paradigm and the institutionalized leftist politics that we've inherited. More specifically, regarding the economic imperative, one of the beginning points, really, for the struggle was against the labor law that sought to make labor markets more flexible, is the terminology that's used, which basically means that it's easier for companies to lay off workers. And so there was an appeal to the importance of resisting the precarity that is inscribed in neoliberal economics.
Here in Canada, and I imagine probably much the same in the U.S., I've hardly heard any word at all about this movement. It was only on an alternative website that I saw your essay. Do you know anything at all about how the movement is being portrayed in the media in France or anywhere else in Europe, for that matter?
That's a great question, because one of my concerns has been precisely with the lack of media coverage. I think that there's a standard media script that is being deployed in the sense that the first step for the mass media when there are radical social movements is to ignore them, pretend that they don't exist, and hope that they'll go away. For the most part, the Anglophone media, with a few exceptions, and here I'm speaking of the mass media, is still at the stage of ignoring these movements. In the French media, it is not a possibility because it's moved on to what is the standard second stage in the playbook of the mass media, which is delegitimate. So you pay attention, but you don't pay attention to the actual stakes and claims, but you attempt to find ways of delegitimating the movement itself. Usually the third stage, and I saw this clearly in my involvement with the Occupy movement, is then the mass media attempts to prove failure, and after that it reverts to its first stage, which is to ignore. And so it's particularly disheartening, the disconnect between the mass media in the broader Anglophone world and the Nuit Debout movement, which both at the level of sheer numbers and at the level of the kind of quality of political transformation that is going on, merit much more attention and deeper scrutiny.
You talk about the media creating a specific narrative with various stages of it, you know, going from ignoring to delegitimizing to going back to ignoring a movement. There's often a sense of hopelessness among activists or the general public that, yeah, there are huge problems, but what on earth can I do? There really isn't anything. Do you think that attitude is deliberately fostered by this narrative that's created by the media?
Absolutely, because the implicit message to this narrative structure of ignore, delegitimate, claim failure, and ignore is that once we get to the end of that cycle, the spectators or listeners are left wondering why the protesters ever tried to do anything in the first place. And I should add that the second ignore, meaning at the end of what is taken to be a process, so it's an identified or constructed end, it's often added that the situation after protest is somehow worse than it was before. So it's often not only that it's unclear from the standard media narrative why the protesters would even have undertaken a protest, but it's often at least implicitly suggested that they've made the situation worse in some way.
You mentioned the French media really can't ignore it right now because it's so huge. Has the movement spread beyond Paris currently? Is it going out to other parts of France?
Yes, immediately. It was, I think I mentioned in the first week, there were at least 30 other cities across France, and now it is spread to Brussels, Berlin, Lisbon, Madrid, and on the 15th of May, there's a call for a global Nuit Debout movement. There's a map that's available online. I do know that there are sites in Denver, Colorado, and in Canada. And I think it will be a very important moment for trying to connect the dots beyond France to movements going on elsewhere and the possibility of perpetuating struggles above and beyond the geographic inscription within France as a nation state.
What sort of encouragement would you give to the people participating in Nuit Debout or any of us here in Canada or the States, for that matter, who are participating in their own protest movements?
I would say two things. One is that it is important to recognize the extent to which the current movement, Nuit Debout, is inscribed in a much broader global insurgency that does surpass the individual struggles in nation states, if it be indignados, occupy, what is problematically referred to as the Arab Spring, etc. And so it's important to identify the extent to which we need to federate between these different movements. The other thing that I would say is that in looking back over the last 5 or 10 years, we can also clearly sense where there is possibility for moving forward and where there are certain failures on the part of particular movements. Two models that are clearly identifiable is the one being more of a kind of horizontal dispersion into kind of a larger social movement, but that arguably doesn't have as much political or economic impact as it could have, or a vertical integration into representative politics. One of the most interesting things about the Nuit Debout movement, and that I think we should encourage ourselves to think about, is the importance of developing alternative strategies that, coming out of these other movements, also allow us to take it to the next level. And I think that that means thinking very seriously about the creation of alternative institutions, the possibility of writing alternative constitutions, and the importance of working above and beyond the nation-state inscription that the mass media would like us to maintain concerning some of these movements.
And that was a Red Eye Collective member, James Menge, speaking with Gabriel Rockhill. Gabriel Rockhill is an associate professor of philosophy at Villanova University. He's also founding director of the Critical Theory Workshop at the Sorbonne in Paris, France. His essay, Revolution Never Sleeps, Nuit Debout in France and Beyond, is available at counterpunch.org.